Today is Mother's Day. I'd like to share with you a very touching story about a mother and a daughter. We have a couple's fellowship group in our English ministry, and in the group, once we shared about who are the heroes in your life. And the couples, they shared about the people in their life that made the most impact positively in their lives, and that they appreciated. Although we were adults, some of us were men, when we mentioned about our mothers, some of them cried. I think it's because mothers have made a deep impact in each one of our lives. Theodore Roosevelt once said, because it is the mother who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother does her part in nurturing and training well the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation. She is more honorable and more important than the successful statesman, businessman, or artist, or even scientist. She is one of the most supreme assets of the national life. In 1971, President Bokassa of the Central African Republic celebrated Mother's Day by ordering the execution, killing of all men jailed for crimes against their mothers. Some of you like that. I think that's the right thing to do. A mother is someone you should respect, you should love and honor. It's a crime to not honor your mother. If there's death penalty for any crime against a mother, I think that would be justified. Today is Mother's Day, and we will learn and put into practice how to honor our mothers the Ruth way, from the book of Ruth. How many of you have read the book of Ruth? Put up your hand. Okay, so the majority of you have read the book of Ruth, including some very young people here. I'm glad that you have read this book. Let me tell you a little bit about this book. From verse 1 through verse 7 of the book of Ruth, you'll learn the background about the book of Ruth that will help you to understand what will happen from verse 8, chapter 1 onward. Alright? If you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to the book of Ruth. Chapter 1, starting from verse 1. Verse 1 says that, in the days when the judges ruled, who were the judges? In the days the judges ruled, Jeffrey. So if you have read the book of Judges, Samson, yes, is one of the 15 judges mentioned in the book of Judges. It is in the days when the judges ruled, so I wondered, when was that? How many years ago was that? This story took place. According to my studies, first judges were leaders of Israel before Israel had kings, like King David and King Solomon. Before that, they were judges. What did the judges do? They would decide who was guilty in court. And they would also lead army in the battle. And they were in charge even of the government, like a governor. So like a commander-in-chief, like a governor, and also like a judge in a court, in the Supreme Court. One man doing all that. Israel had 15 judges in all. Judges began about 1390 to 1350 BC, before Jesus was born, and ended around 1050 BC. So how many years ago did this story take place? How many years ago? From now? Toby?
Like 3,000.
That's good. You're good in mathematics. Might become a mathematician in the future. Okay, good. Thanks for your answer. About 3,000 years ago, this took place. And what happened was that, continue to read from verse 1, there was a famine. When there is a famine, that means there's no rain, no harvest of the crops. As a result, not enough food for everybody. People will starve. Have you ever been hungry? When there's a famine, many people will be hungry. I think even now in Africa, many people, they are suffering from famine, not having enough food. We're really blessed to have enough food here. But there was a famine in the days when the judges ruled, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, because of the famine, they had to get food in order not to be starved to death. So they went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Where is Moab? It's about 50 miles from Bethlehem on the east side of the Dead Sea. That's where Moab is. And the man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name, Naomi, and they had two sons. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites. Who are Ephrathites? Ephrath is another name for Bethlehem. So in other words, they're the people of Bethlehem. And they went to Moab and they lived there. Let me ask you, when did this take place? Just a quick review. Through the few verses we just read, when did this happen? Alex, when did this story take place? The time. Okay, good hint. 3,000 years ago. What happened? What happened?
There was a famine.
There was a famine. And Michael, what else happened? Besides the famine. Huh? What did the family do because of the famine? Yes, look for food, and they went to Moab. So this is where this story took place. Okay, and the names of the people in the story included Elimelech, the father of the family, the wife, or the mother, Naomi, with two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Okay, now, remember that. We'll continue with verse 3. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. The father in the family died. It's a very tragic event. And the wife became a widow with two sons. But the sons then married Moabite women in Moab. One named Orpah, not Oprah. It's Orpah, okay? And the other, Ruth. These are the daughters-in-law to Naomi. After they had lived there for another 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. The father died 10 years later. Even the two sons died. It is a series of tragic events to the family. And Naomi was left without her sons and her husband. Naomi became a widow, and her daughters-in-law also became widows. Many people, when they have read to this point, they will be in tears, seeing what a tragedy happened to this family. Naomi, without a husband, without two sons, now in a strange land, like foreigners. And since the sons died, it was impossible for her to carry on the family name. So in some way, people in Israel, even in China, cherished the importance of carrying on the family line and being able to have sons. That's why some parents will cherish sons more than daughters. If there's no son in the family, they'll feel like, oh, the family line will just stop and die. Because they depend on the son to carry on the family name. See, family name, the last name. When women get married, you often take the family name of the husband. That's why my wife now is called Nina Tang, because my last name is Tang, but her maiden name was not Tang. See, that's why Naomi must be really, really sad, hopeless, angry, and even bitter, considering what happened to her. Let me put that in a contemporary perspective. How sad that can be. Assume you live in New Orleans, and then there was Hurricane Katrina that destroyed your house in New Orleans, and you had to run away from New Orleans. You came to Baton Rouge. You bought a new house, you came with your wife and two sons, and then last year, Hurricane Gustav attacked. The new house was destroyed. And then, the father of the family died, even two sons died, but luckily, the two sons got married before they died. So now, without the house, only the mother and two daughters-in-law who also have become widows. Worse still, Naomi was already like a retired woman, too old to work and to make money, to make a living. And the daughters-in-law did not have the skills to make a living. What will happen if this continues? They might die because they have no ability to make money and survive. So, in the beginning of the story, we should have sense of sadness, hopelessness. But there's hope now at verse 6. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. At least they could go back to home, not being a foreigner in a foreign country. That is very important. Many Chinese people think that it is a blessing to be able to die where they were born. Or otherwise, they would say, if you die in another country, you died in a foreign country. So many people, that's why when after they have retired, they want to go back to their own country where they were born. So Naomi with the two daughters-in-law started their trip back to Bethlehem. What happens next will show us three precious qualities of a good mom and a good child, and how God blessed them both. And if we learn and try to also, by God's wisdom, gain these three qualities, you will be a good mom, or you will be a good child, and you will be blessed. And I will need to have two volunteers to help me, because the book of Ruth, about 80% of that is in dialogue, people talking. And so the best way to help us to put into perspective to understand what happened is to have a role play. And I have invited Alice to be Naomi and Sophia to be Ruth. So you'll hear them having a conversation, and I want them to be imaginative, put themselves in the story and imagine what they felt. And you guys also come along, let's travel through time, back to 3,000 years ago, on the way from Moab to Bethlehem, and see what happened. And in Bethlehem, what happened, and how we can be a good mom or a good child, that God will bless in the future. Alright, so I would like to invite Sophia and Alice to maybe sit in the front. You can use the microphone here. Can you read these verses? Okay. If the characters will be weeping, you can weep. Okay? So don't restrain yourself. So put yourself into the characters. and I'll be the narrator. Okay? Whenever I say Naomi said, then Alice would speak. Whenever I say Ruth said, Sophia would speak. Okay? And after they have spoken, we'll explain a little bit. And Sophia and Alice could take a seat while I'm explaining things, so that you will not be standing all the time and get tired. Okay? So let's look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 8 to verse 10 first. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law,
"Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband."
Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and Ruth said to her, Ruth, they wept aloud and said to Naomi. So now Naomi responded also with Orpah.
"We will go back with you to your people."
Okay, continue with verse 11. But Naomi said,
"Return home, my daughter. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons who could become your husband? Return home, my daughter. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then give birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them?"
Verse 14, at this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Orpah left. But Ruth clung to her. Verse 15. Here.
"Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay."
Verse 16. We will look at that. And then Ruth replied. Oh, okay. He just replied. Okay, now take a seat. Spend some time to think about these verses, and we'll continue. Jason, okay. Encouragement. It's not. They'll come back later, okay? For more. Okay, that was just warm up for them. So now you see, it's not easy to be actors or actresses. Just reading from script is hard enough. Now let's pause and think about what just happened. We see a selfless mom asking her daughters-in-law to go back to their mother's home and then find another husband because their husbands died. And they needed husbands to take care of them because women, it was hard for women at that time to make money in the society, to make a living by themselves. So that's why being able to have a husband was so important for women at that time. What does it mean to Naomi? If even the two daughters-in-law would leave her, she would end up being herself, helpless already. Now, even without two daughters-in-law. But she was not thinking for herself, but she was thinking for the benefits of her daughters-in-law. Because they were still young, they could still go back to their mother's house and find another man to be both their husbands. And then what happened was that the daughters-in-law, they were not willing to go back because they also were selfless. They were not willing to go back. They said, "We would go with you, Naomi." Seeing that Naomi was a helpless widow, they wanted to help. But Naomi kept urging them and convinced one of them to leave. What's her name? Orpah. Next. Being convinced that was the right thing to do. There was no hope clinging onto Naomi for her. Because she was a Moabite. That means, if she went to Bethlehem, the Israelites were socially acceptable, would only marry Hebrew women. So it would be hard for a Moabitess to find a husband, even if they were still young. There was a lot of weeping and crying, although it was hard for maybe us to weep and cry and feel the sadness, but it was very sad. But Ruth insisted on staying with Naomi no matter what. She said, "I'm going to stay with you." And she said that, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay." Let me tell you a story about an evangelist. His name is Laban Wang. The Chinese evangelist, on one occasion during his childhood, had been very naughty, and his mother, with a stick in her hand, called him to her to be punished. But he ran off, teasing the mother because the mother could not catch him. So the mother stood still and said, "I feel ashamed of myself that I have brought up a boy who is not willing to be disciplined by his mother when he does wrong, so I must punish myself." And then she began whipping her own bare arm until it became red. This so touched Nathan that he ran back to his mother, threw himself into her arms, and begged her not to hurt herself, but to punish him. Would the mom punish the son? Actually, no further punishment is necessary for a repentant child. The mother did not punish the son because the son repented, realized that he did wrong. Mr. Wang says that as he grew older, the memory of this incident helped him to understand the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly took our place on the cross. Here is an example of another selfless mom, and that resulted in a selfless child who was willing to sacrifice a lot of things that we cherish in order to be a blessing to many other people, as an evangelist, maybe going to very poor places to share the gospel with people. A selfless mom sacrifices herself for the good of her child. A selfless child also sacrifices himself for the good of her mom and others in her life. A selfless mom often will produce a selfless child. So let us learn from Naomi and Ruth's example. Either be a selfless mother or be a selfless child. How can you be a selfless child or a selfless mom? Start by knowing your mother or your children's needs. What are their needs? And then you try to meet their needs to make them happy. So that's what I suggest you to do when you go back home. David, do you have a question?
No.
Could you share with us what you were talking about? Or put up your hand later if you want to talk, alright? So, or refrain until during lunchtime, okay? So, I suggest that when you go back home, observe your mom. Look at her face. Even look at her body, because often body language tells you much about what someone is going through, her feelings. As a mom, you should do the same to observe your children, to see what they're going through. When you know their needs, if they're sad, listen to them, talk to them, encourage them, comfort them. If they're tired doing the housework because nobody around helps, then you can be the helper. That's how you can show that you appreciate your selfless mom. Okay, and in the end, who will be blessed? I believe you will be blessed because you will be developing a very precious character in you that will be a blessing to many other people. Maybe if you're a man, you're a guy, your future wife. Okay? Or in the future, you'll become a selfless mom, becoming a blessing to your future children. The second precious quality that we'll see in a good mom and a good child is godliness. Godliness. Fearing God, worshipping God, obeying God. Now, time to have the role play again. Okay? Now, rule continues. This part should just be... Yeah. Okay, rule.
Said, your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.
Okay, thank you. You can take a seat, maybe you can hold on to the mic so I don't take a time to get the mic. Just sit there, the mic should be long enough, maybe in the front row. Okay. Ruth continues. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Such commitment. Such commitment to follow and to take care of her mother-in-law till death. She was not thinking about her happiness, her future at all. She was thinking about the mother-in-law. Have you ever seen such a selfless child in your life, honoring the mom in such a selfless way? But why could she do that? Why was she able to act so selflessly? Of course, because she had a selfless mom. But I see a reason here, another reason. Because Naomi was a godless mom. Naomi worshipped the true God who created heavens and the earth. In the verses we read in the beginning, verses 1 to verse 7, Naomi a couple of times mentioned about the Lord. He knew whatever happened, it was because the Lord caused that or allowed that to happen. He knew who was in control. It was God who was in control. He believed in the true God. She didn't stop at there. She also taught Ruth, I believe, even Orpah, about who is the true God who created heavens and the earth. Not those that people created, those wooden idols in Moab. People in Moab, they worship those wooden idols, false gods. Although both were taught, however, just like when God's words were taught to people, some people will believe and will follow and be changed. Other people will remain to just have head knowledge, maybe even get father after that and do nothing about it. But Naomi indeed was a godly mom, and Ruth also believed in the true God. Because she believed in the true God, that's why she was able to love the people that God loved, to love her mother-in-law's people, people in Bethlehem, to the point of even willing to sacrifice her future happiness, to be like a servant to her mother-in-law, to death, as if she was a slave sold to her mother-in-law. Such faith in God is very rare. At that time, even now. Dr. Joseph Parker once said that when Robert Moffat was added to the kingdom of God, a whole continent was added with him. A mother's kiss did it. He was leaving home, and his mother was going with him part of the way. So the mother was seeing off the son leaving home and asked the mother to walk no farther. So tired, she stopped and said, "Robert, promise me something." "What?" asked the boy. "Promise me something," she said again. And he replied, "You have to tell me before I would promise. Is it something you can easily do?" she said. "Promise your mother." He looked into her face and said, "Very well, mother, I will do anything you wish." The mother held her hand behind his head and pulled his face down to hers and said, "Robert, you're going out into a wicked world. Begin every day with God. Close every day with God." Then she kissed him. And Robert Moffat, who became a missionary, greatly used by God, later said it was that kiss that made him a missionary. So mothers, here, teach and guide your children in the way of God according to the Bible, and pray for your children every day. And children here, including myself, let's begin every day with God and close every day with God. That's the best advice I can give you in this wicked world. If you don't do that, I'm afraid that you will be molded and shaped by this evil world into doing all kinds of evilness. And that's how you can make your mother, who loves you so much, happy. The third quality of a good mom and a good child is wisdom. Here, we'll see a wise mom and a wise child. Okay, now, time to have the role play. Chapter 2, verse 19. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, asked her after Ruth,
"Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you."
Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working.
"The name of the man I worked with today in Boaz."
Then Naomi said,
"The Lord bless him."
Naomi said to her daughter-in-law,
"He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead."
She added,
"That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen, redeemer."
Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said,
"He even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain."
Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law,
"It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because if someone else steals, you might be harmed."
Okay, that's enough. Now you can take a seat again. And so, verse 23 says that, so Ruth stayed close to the servant girl of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law, taking care of her mother-in-law, collecting food for her mother-in-law so that they would not be starved to death. You would say Naomi was just an old woman, but I see wisdom in this woman. Not a wisdom. She loved her daughter-in-law, and she was looking out for her to make sure that she would not be harmed in a wicked society. She gave her even advice to find a good and kind man to be her future husband later, a Hebrew man. It seemed to be hard, almost impossible, for a Moabitess to find a good and kind man to be Ruth's husband. But because of Naomi's wisdom, because of God's guidance in the process, Ruth was able to find a good husband and be blessed, probably the greatest blessing that one has ever received, you will see. And Ruth was a wise child. What did a wise child do? Here, she followed everything her wise mom told her to do. What is the next thing that your mom asked you to do and that you followed? What was that, Jeffrey?
Wake up!
Time to go to church, right? Okay. That by today, okay? I think God gave each one of you a mom who gives you advices to protect you. These advices sometimes might seem to be restrictions that we don't like. We don't like restrictions. We want freedom. We want to do whatever we want to do. Some of you said, yes, freedom is good. But you know what? If not for your mom's restrictions, I'm afraid most of you would not be here today. Most of you would probably be homeless. Most of you might end up dead. Why do I say so? Because it is the mom who gave you such restrictions to help you get out of those bad habits that you will very naturally develop. For example, eating too much junk food, drinking too much soda, not eating fruits and vegetables, not exercising, not taking a shower before you sleep, or brushing your teeth before you sleep, not going to bed early and not getting up early, not making your bed after you have woken up, not brushing your teeth this morning, not combing your hair, not changing your clothes. You might come with your pajamas. Not doing your homework, watching too much TV, surfing the web too much, using bad language, respecting nobody, using violence when you get angry, drinking, smoking, taking drugs, gambling, reading pornography, having premarital sex, when you grow up having relationships with prostitutes, hanging out with gangsters. All these happen to many, many people without a mom around. And most importantly, not reading your Bible in the beginning of the day, and not reading your Bible and praying at the end of your day. Appreciate the restrictions that your parents, your mom, put onto you to protect you because your mom loves you, or otherwise she would just do nothing and say nothing and just leave you alone, and then you will be homeless and you will die and become a wicked man. So appreciate those restrictions that our moms put on our life. Appreciate the restrictions from God's word, because it is out of love that God has given us this command, and that command seems to be restrictions, and yet in the end help us to live wisely and be blessed. Lastly, we'll see that God blesses a good mom and a good child. Now when you see the women said, all the women here, including the girls, will read that, the underlined verses, alright? So let's all participate. Chapter 4, verse 13, Ruth says that, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, to be pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, women, louder, I don't hear anything. Together, try it. We do have quite a few girls here, and women. Together. Why is it so hard? Let's do it, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Praise be to the Lord.
See how hard it is for people to have unity, to work together, and or to sing in a choir. But thanks for participating. Maybe we'll do better in the future. But the purpose is that you read God's word yourself. And you see that here. The women, in the beginning, actually said, who is this woman? Is this Naomi? Because Naomi, after the years of suffering in Moab and going through such bitterness in her life, she looked like a totally different person. And she even said that God must be punishing me to let these things happen in my life. But now these women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. I'll explain who a kinsman redeemer is. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, take care of you, for your daughter-in-law, all because of a good daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, 1, 2, 3. Yes, Naomi has a son. We do better than last time. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, King David. Wow. Boaz and Ruth became the great grandparents of King David. From King David, Jesus Christ was born 10 generations later. Who is the kinsman redeemer? Some of you have read the book of Ruth. Who is the kinsman redeemer? Could you speak on more now, please? Jason.
It's when someone who buys the lot of your of his brother, so that his name will continue.
Of his dead brother, right? The brother who was dead, and then this brother will be willing, or close relative, okay, will be willing to take up the responsibility to buy that land for the dead brother, so that the name would continue on that piece of land. And also, be willing to marry the widow of the dead brother, so that the family name to be carried on, a very important thing in Israel, or also even in China. And Boaz was such a kind man to be willing to do this, because he didn't really gain anything from that, because after all, the name will be under Ruth's dead husband. And if a son was born, the future inheritance that now Boaz had will mostly go to the son. If there was only one son, everything would go to the son. And the family line would be under Ruth's dead husband. See, you're doing something for someone, sacrificing, and yet benefiting someone else. And this actually represents what Jesus Christ did for us. Think about that. Jesus Christ died for us, and yet he paid a great price for our sins. In the end, we are the ones who benefit. The eternal life, the inheritance that each Christian can gain. Because Jesus Christ was the Redeemer for all mankind's sins. If you have a chance, go back to read Matthew chapter 1, and you'll be amazed that Jesus Christ in his family history was listed as a descendant of Abraham, and Boaz and Ruth's names were also mentioned. Isn't God amazing? He always keeps his promises to Abraham, and his timing was always perfect, and he often used people who were poor, despised, but those people who were willing to trust and follow him. He will greatly bless them, and these people will become a blessing to many, many, many other people. It is God's will for Christians to be blessed so that we can bless others. Lastly, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to everyone. And mothers here, please stand up. We want to appreciate you. Mothers. Any mothers here? Okay. Thank you, mothers. You are more important than any other successful person doing whatever profession in the society. Because from you, people who can change the world came. And mothers-to-be, please stand up. I'm not saying that you're already pregnant, okay? I'm just saying that in the future, if you think that you will be a mother, please stand up. I want to appreciate you, because what is going on your shoulder is a very important responsibility. Stand up. If you want to be a mother with those three good qualities, please stand up. Don't be shy. All stand up, okay? And I advise you all, future mothers to be a good mom in the future. That will be one of the most important roles that God will give you to make a huge impact to this wicked world by nurturing, training your kids to become godly men and women. And you can be a good mom through having three qualities. Do you guys do remember the three qualities of a good mom? Godliness. Huh? Jeffrey? What did you say?
Nothing.
Alex?
Selfless?
Selfless? Godliness?
Wise.
Wisdom. So be a selfless, a godly, and a wise mom in the future. And many people will be blessed. And everyone here, we are all children of our moms. And I encourage you to be also a selfless child, also a godly child, and a wise child who is willing to follow God and follow the good advices of a wise mom. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us mothers who let us experience what God's love is like. Selfless, godly, and wise, who protected us when we were young, even when we are older, our mothers still have a deep impact in our lives because of their love. I just pray that each one of us here who will be mothers in the future will appreciate what an important responsibility God has given them, and that they will become good mothers who change the world, starting from their own children in the future, being selfless, godly, and also wise. I pray that each one of us here, starting from today and every day, will honor our moms, because God will bless those who honor their moms. And I pray that you will help us to be selfless, to be willing to give selflessly. Not thinking about what we can get in return, but just trying to meet our mother's needs. Help us also to be godly, because ultimately it is through God that we can do all things to glorify God. I pray that each one of us, from a young age, or whatever stage we are at, be disciplined to start our day with God's word and prayer, and end our day with God's word and prayer, and throughout the day, think about God's word and pray. And I pray that we'll all become wise, and we'll be so wise that people will be attracted to us, and through us, they will know Christ. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.